Xavier and Ryan on Hit 92.9. Do you mind if I ask?
Hi, my name is Cherie. I'm a survivor of domestic violence and I don't mind if you ask. The definition of domestic violence is when someone tries to control a victim by giving them fear. So when did it start and how long did it go for? I actually stayed in this relationship for 16 years. I had two children to my ex. My daughter is now 13 and my son is 10. What effects does this have on someone? I have been diagnosed with PTSD. I have to see a counsellor regularly, and just there are times when I get anxious for no reason because I can't read what's happening around me. Sexual abuse, obviously, the effects on somebody trying to be intimate with another partner, just being really scared of what you'll be wearing and that sort of stuff. Did you physically get hurt? Yes, I did. I have been kicked so hard in the face once that my nose actually cracked. I went to work the next day and I sneezed and everything just came out, that my workplace wanted to send me to hospital because my nose just wouldn't stop bleeding. Another time I had to jump over a fence to escape, and I ran to some stranger's house to knock on the door for me to be able to call the police because I didn't have my mobile. There are a lot of times I have been hurt, whether it's a punch or a kick, a slap. I've been laid on the ground and he'll be still laying into me. There are times also that I don't remember because I've blocked a lot of it out. Some of my friends would say, oh, I remember you had your arm in a bandage, and I'd be like, what are you talking about? So I just blocked it all out. How often did this happen? So the verbal abuse, the psychological abuse was daily, pretty much. I was always being called fat and ugly. My nickname was Piggy. And that was happening all the time. The physical abuse wasn't as often as the verbal and the emotional abuse, but I would say definitely a few times a month. It got to the point where I was able to find spots in my house where I could hold my phone and FaceTime my family without them seeing the bruises because of the lighting basically in the house, and got really good at covering up bruises. There could be days when I would have had a beating, I guess you could say, the night before, and I would go out the next day and you wouldn't know what had happened to me because I got so good at covering up and acting, basically. I should win an Oscar for that. Were you ever hospitalised? Yes, I have been hospitalised twice. It's just not a very good experience going into the hospital when you're all bruised and cut and bleeding. The nurses are very nice to you, but at the same time, I felt, I don't know what they were thinking. Were they judging me? Were they feeling sorry for me? You just don't know how everybody else around you perceives it. A lot of people sort of think, why doesn't she just leave in this situation? But leaving is actually one of the hardest and most dangerous times. You really don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how he will react. My partner threatened my family, threatened me, knew where my workplace was. So I just, you know, he was always like, I'm going to hurt your mum if you leave, or I'm going to hurt your dad. I know where everybody lives. So you have that fear, but you also have the fear of, where are you going to go? Like, are you going to end up homeless? Have nothing to your name, and then if you have children, that's even harder because, you know, a lot of females and even myself, I wanted my kids to have that family unit of a mum and a dad, but after a while I realized I was actually abusing my children by letting them witness what was happening at home, and I wanted to break that cycle for them. Did you ever think you were going to die? Yes. More than once I thought that was going to happen to me, just when you're hit in the head so often and your hair gets pulled out and you're kicked in the stomach, you just don't know when he's going to stop because the anger takes over. So you have no control and you're crouching down and you're like, stop, stop. But he just doesn't stop. He doesn't listen. He becomes a totally different person. So there were times that I thought that I was going to die.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today. Do you mind if I ask?
Hi, my name is Cherie. I'm a survivor of domestic violence and I don't mind if you ask. How did you get out? After a very long 16 years, towards the end, something just came over me. And I just thought, you know what, this is not the life that I am supposed to live. This is not the life that my children are supposed to have. When I was younger, my mum was also in an abusive relationship and I really hated the fact that I got into it, the same thing that my mum did. And with my daughter getting older and going into high school, I was like, she can't have that same relationship. She needs to know what a loving relationship is. So basically one day I just packed up all the clothes we had, took away all of our important information like our passports, birth certificates, called my mum and she just came and picked me up. And it was hard to get out from him standing there still screaming and yelling. One minute it was like, I love you, stay with me, to the next, you're an and hope you die. So when I got in the car with my mum, he actually cried and broke down in the driveway. He was like, please don't leave me. And that was heartbreaking for me to see, but I knew what I had to do and I had to get out. So then I went and stayed at my sister's house. Me and the children lived on her floor, but I knew that it was better than staying with what we had. The abuse that followed after I left was out of control. I got very sick and was hospitalized just from too much stress. The text messages, phone calls, 150 missed calls a day. So it's basically like stalking. So I definitely had mixed emotions. It was fear and relief and really obviously scared, I guess, of the unknown. To be honest though, there were times when I did contemplate going back only because I thought it would be easier. Just because I knew what my life was when I was with him. I knew that I had a house and I had a car and that I had money because we were both working. So the next question is, where is he now? He's in Perth, but I have no idea where. We have no contact with him because there is a violence restraining order against him. But because I don't know where he is, I am always on high alert. So whenever I go anywhere, I'm always scanning the room, trying to, you know, see if he's there. You know, if I call out to my children and they don't call out back to me, I start to panic. And that's even at home. And our house is very secure. Just because I don't know where he is, I get in the car and I lock the doors automatically. But it was just so hard to stay where I was. I've actually even contemplated suicide because of this. Not since I've left, but when I was in that relationship, it was just, you know, I know it's not going to be easier on my family, but it was what was going to be easier on me. And the only reason that I never really went all the way was because I had my children and I thought, you know, they don't have the best father and I'm their main carer. So if they lose me, then, you know, they might not make it through. So they really were the ones that stopped me from doing that. I definitely feel that it's a taboo subject. Everybody knows that it's happening and, you know, one in four a week are being killed. So that's an average 52 women a year. It doesn't seem like a lot as such when you put it out, say, you know, one a week, but imagine like if there was a mass explosion somewhere and 52 people died, it would seem a lot because it was all at once. If you know someone who's being abused, just be really supportive to them. Listen to them, you know, really believe what they say to you, because the perpetrator is really good also at disguising himself. So, you know, he can be at home a complete monster, but when you go out, he can be an angel. So he's just able to manipulate all the people around him. But yeah, it's just speaking out, you know, just saying, like, if you see violence happening, just say, stop, that's not right. I let go of that relationship before I actually left. My heart was broken way before I left, and I just became a zombie, really, and I just stayed and I just did what I had to do, and I just survived, like, you know, like, okay, well, I know this annoys him, so I'm not going to do that. And just really reading the situation, just knowing what's happening, to the point where now I can go to a nightclub and read a fight before it's even happening and move everybody away, or tell my bouncers, hey, you gotta, there's a fight about to happen. But yeah, so I mean, even though I'm out of the relationship, I'm still healing, really, just trying to move on with my life. Staying strong. Like, I'm trying to, as I said, I want to be getting into high schools to educate the next generation. I'm wanting to, you know, help women who are still stuck in that relationship to say, yeah, you can get out. I know it's hard, but you can do it. And I'm just trying to just do my part, really.
Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on Hit 92.9.